everyone. You Amen. Can have your seats.
Please have your seats.
I am Chantel Richardson.
And I am Pastor Marias Richardson. And we would like to welcome you to New Antioch Christian Fellowship at Aliante.
Where we love, where we lead, we give, and we pray.
And we pray.
We're a church that speaks to the greatness in you. Because we believe everybody matters to God. Yes, everybody. Here at New Antioch Christian Fellowship, you can meet Jesus, change your life, and most definitely find your purpose. We affirm on today that you will hear a word that will change your life, a song that will lift your heart, and a prayer that will speak to your every need. Our scripture today reads
from John, found in New Living Translation, is the book of John, 6th chapter, verse 48. Yes, I am the bread of life. And we just got one question for you. Is anybody hungry? Hallelujah. Is anybody hungry? Well, just like at the restaurants, we're going to serve some bread for you. Jesus is telling us that he is the bread of life. So let's not be hungry for the things of the world more than we are for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
If this is your first time, can you please stand?
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you. Amen. That you fill out the form and hand it back to our sanctuary attendants. You may have your seats.
Yes, and now we are going to go into our time of giving, our time of offering, when we get the opportunity. Amen, amen, amen. I see somebody brought some money into the house of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, God. So as you prepare for your giving unto God, we just ask that you would think again, search again, and make sure that you're giving what God wants you to give. Hallelujah. We want you to be blessed the way he wants to bless you. Don't allow the enemy to take away from your blessing. So we do have five ways to give. Hallelujah. As you do see our sanctuary attendants, they are in their beautiful yellow jackets, and they are handing up their, they have their envelopes up. If you need one, please raise your hand and they will bring one to you. Amen. Fill it out in its entirety. And we thank you for your seed. You can take out your phone and you can text New Antioch to 77977. You can give your gift there. We appreciate you. You can go online to newantioch-aliante.org. Please follow the prompts and you will be able to give your seed there. We greatly appreciate you. And you can go on the latest way of giving is Cash App. Do take note in our handle, there are two capital A's. So we have New A, Aliante. When you do fill out the your Cash App, please put your government name so that we can give you the credit. And we greatly appreciate your seed that you are giving. And to those that are on Facebook, even YouTube, or however you are looking at us online, we want to say thank you, first of all, for logging in. We pray that God blesses you. And our address is 2550 Nature Park Drive, North Las Vegas, Nevada, 89084, Suite 100. And we greatly appreciate your giving. So as you all give, let's... And we also have another way of giving. If you have your debit card, excuse me. Our sister Monique is in the back. You can give there with your debit card, and we greatly appreciate your giving. God is doing something in New Antioch. Hallelujah. And it's so good that you would partner with us. And so, Father God, we thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that you have allowed us to come here to bless your holy name and that you have given us seed that we may sow into your house. We thank you, Lord God, for your provisions, how you've taken care of us and made sure that we've had more than enough all week, all year long, God. And so we give this back unto you, Lord. Let it be counted as our worship, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, we bless you, we praise you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And we go to John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5. In the New International Version, here it is our custom to stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God, if you don't mind. It's there on the screen. Let's read together. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Our topic this morning is Jesus lives in me. Jesus lives in me. Our theme for the whole month is Jesus lives. Somebody say, Jesus lives in me. I find space for what I treasure. I make time for what I want. I choose my priorities, and Jesus, you're my number one. So I will make room for you. I will prepare for two. So couldn't live in. You can see where the mice have been because of the droppings on the floor. Roaches so used to being there, they don't even scatter anymore. You see them hanging around the kitchen and in the laundry room. The tables have layers of dust mites, and you can smell the garbage can. The film of old grease resting on top of the dishwater, while the other sink is full of dirty dishes. Carpet covered in wasted juice, animal hair. Grease spots from the outside. Places where they haven't cleaned up from the dog and the cat. You thought to yourself, I couldn't live here. And what if you had to use the restroom? Skid marks on the back of the toilet seat. Yellow drops on the front of the toilet seat and around on the floor. Sour towels on the towel racks. Stains on the floor. The green bathroom room mats that are gray now. And they're covered with old toilet paper pieces. And the toilet brush got brown dry clumps on it. And you thought to yourself, I'll just hold it. I just hold it. I couldn't live here. The bedrooms, can't even get in the bedroom through the stuff that's piled on the floor. Old magazines and dirty clothes. The bed is unmade and it's covered with junk except that small place to sleep in. And even that place got an old plate of dried up food on it and pizza boxes with the crumbs still in it. And you can see the trail of the ants that's coming to get the crumbs and take it outside because the ants won't even stay in there and eat. On your way out, you can barely keep from throwing up. And then you see somebody else did and they ain't cleaned it up yet. So you say, I can't live here. imagine, what if you were Jesus and you've been invited in? Well, I'm not Jesus. But you know what? I am a Christian. I am a Christian. Unapologetically. Unconditionally. Unashamedly. Unshakably. Undoubtedly. Uncompromisingly. Unmistakably. Unbendingly, unadulteratedly, unequivocally, I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus lives. I just talked to him a minute ago. And by the way, he's good. He's alive and he is well. He is omnipresent because he is God. But one place that he lives, one place that he posts up, one place that he dwells, one place that he has taken up residency is in me. Jesus lives in me. One of the central themes of Christianity is that Jesus lives in us, is the indwelling presence of Jesus. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. That's Romans 8 and 10. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me. That's Galatians 1 and 15. I am crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's Galatians 2 and 20. That Christ may take his home in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. That's Ephesians 3:17. To whom God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among us Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's Colossians 1:37. Jesus lives in me. And it is a bit of a mystery because we are in him and he is in us. And he is in the Father and the Father is in him. It's a bit of a mystery, but it's really not that far-fetched. Think of it this way. If God is the ocean and Jesus is the water and we are a sponge in the water, the water is in the ocean. Where's water? In the ocean. The water is in the ocean. And the water is the ocean. The sponge is in the water. And because of the nature of the water is in the sponge. Right? And so Jesus is in God. Jesus is God. We are in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. It's not that big of a mystery. We know Jesus lives because he lives in us. Somebody say, Jesus lives in me. So this month we are celebrating the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. We were created to be in relationship with God. Let me preach the gospel real quick. We were created to be in relationship with God. We chose to rebel against God and broke up our relationship with him. He had plans on living in relationship with us forever when he created us. And he knew that even though all of us have chosen ourselves and we've chosen Satan above God, that many of us, he would be able to win us back to be in relationship with him. So he did not want heaven without us. So Jesus brought heaven down here. He became the one man who would not choose the devil or himself and would not sin, so that the penalty for our rebellion would be completely paid off. Now, what kind of ransom would be enough to buy back the lives of human beings 100 billion times over? What kind of ransom would that be? It would have to be something that is so rare that it's priceless. It would have to be something whose worth could not even be calculated. So the price to pay the ransom for us, to buy us back, to be in relationship with God, that price was innocent human blood. And innocent human blood is so rare that it has only existed in all of eternity. It has only existed for about 30 years. Now, we're talking about all of eternity. So that's about that. But 30 years. That this priceless, innocent blood even ever exists. And it's only existed in one man, Jesus Christ. So his blood paid for the sins of the world. And now we are in back in our right relationship with God simply by just believing on him. We believe that he died for us, was raised from the dead for us, and he was the first one being raised from the dead with many of us to follow after him. He had to die so that we could have life, but he had to rise again so we could have new life. Somebody say, Jesus lives. So we have his new life in us, and because we have his life in us, we never die. Jesus said, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. We just transition into eternity. We just leave this shell that we're living in and we transition into eternity because the life of Jesus is in us. Somebody say, Jesus lives in me. But why would he want to live in me? Do you have any idea what kind of stuff is in me? Doubt and fear, lust and idolatry, insecurity and depression, vain imaginations and creepy desires, ingratitude and pride, procrastination and pitifulness, complaining and negative thinking, gluttony and laziness, stupidity and arrogance at the same time. That's what's in me. Stupidity and arrogance at the same time. Who would want to live in me? And y'all ain't no better. Why would he want to live in you? You know what's in you. We know what's in us. And in spite of all of that, the night before he was scheduled to die, he's saying his last words to his followers. He says to them, remain in me as I also remain in you. Later on in that chapter, he says, I want my words to remain in you. Then he says, I want you to remain in my love. As the Father loves me, I love you. Why in the world would he want to live in me? I believe it's in what he had to say in the rest of that text. He lives in me for intimacy. He lives in me for intimacy. Jesus is relational. He wants us close. And you can't get any closer than living in me. Because when you really love someone, you want to be in the same space as them. You want them in the house. That's why people start living together before they get married. I just want you in the house. You want them in the room with you. You don't like when the wife way over there and your husband over there. You want them in the room with you. You want to feel what they feel. You want to do what they do. You want to see what they see. I wish I had three people that remember when they was in love. You want to feel what they feel. You want to do what they do. You want to see what they see. You want to share those moments. You want to enjoy life together. Matter of fact, you do enjoy life together. Because Jesus was there. Also in that same chapter, he talked about joy. He said, I'm telling y'all all of this because I want my joy to be in you. And that your joy will be complete. I want my love in you. I want my joy in you. I want my words in you. I just want me in you. Y'all know what? He's just that into you. He's just that into you. He's so into you that he comes to live in you. It's the intimacy. That's what's in it for him. That's what's in it for him. Because being in relationship was actually his idea. His love is so intense. It is the essence of who he is. I don't know why Jesus loves me. Teacher, I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he sacrifices life. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did. I love him living in me. I'm not alone. I'm not abandoned. I'm never forsaken. I always have company. I can feel him. I can feel when he's happy. I can feel when he's grieved. I can feel him pushing me. I can feel him helping me. I can hear him talking to me. I have learned to live in him so much that it took away all of my loneliness because he's been living in me. I remain in him and he remains in me, and that was his choice. The intimacy is what's in it for him. But that's not all. Why would he want to live in me? He lives in me for improvement. He lives in me for improvement. He lives in me to help me. So you remember that house we described? And you all agreed you couldn't live there, that everybody agreed you could not live there, right? Okay, I only got about four or five OCD people in here. Y'all agree that you could not live there? Well, someone with great love would say to those people, I love you and I want to live with you, but I have to come in and fix the place up. I'm going to have to clean it up. I'm going to have to disinfect and deodorize. I'm going to have to put one of those insect killer bombs up in this joint. I'm going to have to wash everything with soap and bleach. I'm going to have to pull up this carpet. We ain't going to clean it. I'm going to pull up this carpet and lay out some new flooring. I'm going to have to paint and polish and purify. I'm going to have to put the garbage out, can and all. I'm not going to dump the garbage. We're putting the whole can out. And I'm going to clean out the refrigerator. I got to do some shopping and get the right food up in here. I'm going to have to move some of this stuff out. I'm going to throw a whole lot of this stuff away. But when I get through with this place, I'll be able to live here, and you're going to be better for it. When Jesus lives in me, I'm better for it. I'm cleaner. I'm fixed up. I eat differently. I'm presentable. All the rodents and the pests have been exterminated. Jesus washed everything. Jesus washed everything. Jesus washed everything. And I'm brand new. And that's what's in it for me. That's what's in it for me. My life is better. I like it better. When you live in me, there's more love and joy. There's more peace and contentment. There's more holiness and happiness. There's more health and mental health. There's more provision and purpose. There's more power and ability. There's more intellect and integrity. There's more focus and productivity. When you live in me, there's a vast improvement in me. Meeting Jesus changes your life. Jesus living in me makes me a better person. That's what's in it for me. And the longer he lives in me, the better I get. Oh, I'm living my best life. The longer he lives in me, the better I get, the more I become like him. It's like in Galatians 4:19, where Paul says, "My children, whom I travail again in birth, until Christ is formed in you." Romans 8:29, "For those God knew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." What does it mean? We were originally formed in the image and the likeness of God, but sin deformed us. Now with Jesus in us, we can be transformed until we're back to our original form. We were originally formed in the image and the likeness of God, but sin deformed us. Now when the life of Jesus comes in us, when Jesus is in us, we can be transformed until we're back to our original form. That's what's in it for me. So Jesus lives in me for intimacy. That's what's in it for him. Jesus lives in me for improvement. That's what's in it for me. He lives in me for empowerment. For empowerment. Let's go back to our opening verse. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Y'all seen a vine, there's the vine. The think of a grapevine, there's the big grapevine, and then there are the branches. If the branches stay connected to the vine, everything that's in the vine flows through the branches, right? So we are empowered because Jesus lives in us and the power flows from him, and that's how we bear fruit. That's how we do powerful things. The power flows from him, we bear fruit. And so when we bear that fruit, what is that? It's to continue the work that Jesus did. He's telling his disciples, I'm getting ready to turn this thing over to you, but if you just stay in me and I stay in you, you'll be able to do the same stuff I was doing. Our job is to continue the work that Jesus did. Stay with me now. The church has been called to continue the work of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ in the earth today, meaning we are his hands and his feet. We are his heart and his soul. We are his word and his deed in the world right now. What he started, we have been appointed and anointed to finish, to continue the work. Do it like this. If his work is the movie, then our work is the sequel. If his work is chapter one, then our work is chapter two. If his work is the first episode, then our work is the second episode. We are continuing the work that Jesus started. Now watch this. One specific assignment of Jesus was to destroy the works of the enemy. God has been dealing with me about our responsibility to destroy the works of the enemy. It's in 1 John 3 and 8. In the B clause of that verse, it says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The whole reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. So he lives in me to empower me to finish his work. All right? But we aren't the only ones working. We cannot forget that a central part of our work is to destroy the works of the devil. Don't assume that we're out in the world just doing works of God and we're the only ones working. We're not the only ones working. The devil is working. And what we are supposed to be doing is destroying the devil's work. The people that I care about, those people that we care about, they're suffering. They're being harassed. They're helpless against the works of the devil. Stuff like gender confusion. Well, you have to choose your own pronouns. You go on Zoom and you gotta choose your pronouns. You fill out something and have to choose your pronouns. That's the work of the devil. Mass shootings. The enemy is downloading his murderous plans to people with diminished capacity. People that are angry, people that are hurt, people that are mentally ill, people that are intoxicated, people that are addicts. The devil takes his plans and he downloads it in the mind of people who are diminished in their own capacity. That's the devil's work. This political chaos that we're in, not only in our country, but really all over the world. This political chaos where people put their party before people, where they put power before principles. That's the devil's work. These cyber attacks that disrupt lives, that compromise safety, that promote community chaos. This stuff is the devil's work. All of these are works of the devil. And right here in Las Vegas, where we have been assigned, where we have been placed, the devil is at work. There's so much lostness in this city. Most of this city is lost. With all the churches that are in this city, we are number 6 for the most lost place in the United States. And the spirits that hover over Nevada, that hover over especially Las Vegas, is the spirit of addiction. Addiction is running the airways in Las Vegas. You can come to Las Vegas and anything you're addicted to, you can do all day long. For little of nothing. If you're an alcoholic, they'll give you drink totes all day. If you're a glutton, you can go to these buffets. They used to be like $5.99, and you can sit up and glutton all day in Las Vegas. If it's sexual addiction, where else in the world can you drive down the street and see the posters with everything showing? Just about everything. Y'all seen them posters on the cabin? Just all in your face. The sexual immorality that flows over. If you're addicted to sex, it's legal to buy a prostitute outside the county line. And they're really not going to stop you inside the county line. Where else but a place like Las Vegas where you drive down during graduation time and they have the bold audacity to have on the billboard off the freeway the strip joints now recruiting the class of 2024. Have y'all seen those billboard? 18-year-olds, 17-year-olds, Las Vegas got the nerve to say, come on, get on this pole. We're recruiting you right out of high school. The spirit of lasciviousness hovers over Las Vegas. What is lascivious, Pastor? That's a church. That's a biblical term. It means no control. Lack of self-control. People come to Las Vegas just to lose control. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. The devil is a lie. What happens in Vegas causes you to lose your job. What happens in Vegas causes you to have to go to rehab. What happens in Vegas, you're going to birth about 9 months later. And that thing going to be with you till they're 18. And every parent of a young adult, let them know it don't stop at 18 either. The devil tells folks, come here and lose control and it's all going to stay here. Yeah, your money going to stay here because that's another addictive thing that you can do in Vegas all day long. But it don't stay here because now you can't pay your mortgage. And the spirit of violence is trying to infiltrate and stay here in Las Vegas. It's been here for a while. There are cities, though, cities like Chicago, where addiction hovers over our city. Violence hovers over theirs. San Francisco, sexual perversion hovers over theirs. New York, the money and greed hovers over theirs. There are spirits. It's the devil's work. And we have the power to cast these demons out. We have the power to eradicate their effectiveness in that city. I wish I had some believers, Pastor. We have the power to eradicate their effectiveness because Jesus lives in me to destroy the works of the devil. And that's what's in it for them. All of them. Well, who is them? Who them is for you might be different than who them is for me. Watch this. Jesus, the good shepherd, said that he would leave the 99 who don't need repentance. That means they've already turned their lives around, and now they're safe in Christ, and Christ is in them. He has said he'll leave the 99 of them to go out and find the one that went astray. Jesus cares about the 99, and he'll leave them and go after the one. And so I asked him one day, well, God, how do we get the 99 to care about the one? Because we're supposed to continue Jesus' work, right? We're supposed to continue Jesus' work. Jesus' work said, I'll leave 99 to go after the one. So we're continuing his work. My job as a pastor is to get the 99 to care about the one. And so, God, how do I do that? He told me, first you got to find the one that they care about. So who do you care about? Because that's your them. That's Jesus in you. Jesus lives in you to empower you. Jesus lives in you for empowerment. Empowered to destroy the works of the devil that's working in them. But you got to care about them. So who do you care about? That's your them. Who do you care about? Children? The unhoused? People in marital discord? The addict? How about the one in your own family? Because you got one. Do you care about domestic violence? Do you care about the mentally ill? What about children in foster care? Who do you care about? Teenagers? The LGBTQIA+ community? Do you care about the sexually assaulted children? Do you care about the ones being sex trafficked? Do you care about young adults? Do you care about young men of color? Do you care about young men, period? Do you care about felons? Do you care about seniors? Who do you care about? Do you care about the poor? Do you care about the undereducated? Do you care about the 12-year-old that can't read? Or the single mom who can't buy a house? Or the disabled? Or the veterans? Or urban professionals who have a good life but no purpose? Or the wealthy who have good money but no peace? Who do you care about? Who do you care about? Who do you care about? Because that's your them. Jesus lives in you to empower you to destroy the works of the devil. And you have the power to destroy them. You can destroy his works with the name of Jesus. You can destroy his works with strategic prayer. Do not underestimate the power of your prayer. You can destroy his works by developing your ministry. If you care, develop your ministry. What are the programs that are on your heart? What are the partnerships that you could be making? What are the outreach events that we could be having? What about proclaiming and explaining the gospel? Because the gospel will absolutely destroy the works of the enemy. What about laying hands on the sick until they recover? What about casting out those devils? Jesus lives in me to empower me. It's no longer I, but it's Christ in me. Maybe the reason some of you aren't out there destroying the works of the enemy over somebody that you care about is because you don't understand that it's not you, that it's Christ in me. This is us. This is us. Everybody do that with me. This is us. It's not just you. This is us. Do it again. This is us. Next time you encounter something that you think is too big and I'm just so overwhelmed, you just need to stand flat-footed and say, oh, I forgot. This is us. This kid is driving me crazy. I don't know what to do about him. And I'm getting ready. I want to go in here and choke him, but choke him didn't work last time. I want to take all the stuff out their room, but that didn't happen the last time. I just don't know. Oh, I forgot. This is us. I wish I could get my brother out these drugs. Ain't nothing I can do, but there is something I can do because Jesus is living in me. I just got to remember, this is us. Learn how to live as us and not just as you. When you go to pray for somebody, remember, this is us. When you go to speak his words, remember, this is us. When you go to meet the needs of the community, remember, this is us. And when you're thinking about doing something wrong, remember, this is not just me. This is us. Don't make Jesus live in what you're about to do. Don't make him live in that mess. Because this is us now. And you can't make him leave while you do it. Jesus lives in me. What you gonna say, Tasha? What you gonna say? Jesus, you got to go. Because I'm getting ready to go do this over here. What you gonna say? What you gonna say? Jesus, I gotta go smoke this blunt. Jesus, I gotta go get a little something. So you gonna have to leave. What you gonna say? Because once he comes in, he promised that he would never leave you nor forsake you. Let's go back to that vine. Ram BJ, you can't separate the branch from the vine. I'm sorry, let me put it this way. You can separate the branch from the vine, and eventually it'll wither away and it won't produce fruit. But there's no way to take the vine out of the branch. If you break the branch off the vine is still in the branch. So you think you can strip the skin off of it, but it's that part is still the branch. You can't take the vine out of the branch. So once Jesus is living in you and you are a branch of him, even if you break away from Jesus, Jesus didn't break away from you. So you taking Jesus right along with you. I got scripture for it. He said, when you join, don't you realize when you join yourself to a harlot that you taking the Holy Spirit with you? He's not going to leave you or forsake you. So don't make him live in that version of you. He loved you so much that he moved in before you were all cleaned up. That place in my intro, that was you. And he moved in. What was that over there I missed? He moved in before he cleaned it all up. So the least you can do is remember, this is us. Somebody say it again. This is us. Jesus lives in me for intimacy. That's what's in it for him. Jesus lives in me for improvement. That's what's in it for me. Jesus lives in me for empowerment. That's what's in it for them. This is us. Whew, I feel the power in that. Jesus, this is us. What does our life look like together? That's what you get to spend the rest of your Christian life figuring out and learning how to live. What our life looks like together. Your prayer today needs to be, Lord, help me to learn to see that it's us now. And I will make room for you. I will prepare for two so you don't feel that you can't live here. Please live. I will make room for you. I will prepare for two so you don't feel that you can't. My ego,
you can move that over.
My schedule.
You can move that over.
My itinerary.
You can move that over.
See, I will make room. My habits.
You can move that over.
My attitude.
You can move that over.
Whatever it is.
You can move that over.
If it's not like you.
You can move that over.
Whatever it is.
You can move that over.
You can move it out of the way. What I want to pray for today.
You can move that over.
Let me do salvation first.
You can move that over.
Because some of you just need to invite him in. That's all being saved is. That's all being born again is. It said, Jesus, I believe in you. That story I told you about how we messed up. Jesus came, died for us, and we back in right relation with God. All you got to do is believe. If you believe that story, you don't even have to understand it to believe it. I don't understand how a plane works. I don't understand how something that big with all those people on it gets up off the ground, flies all the way across the country and all across the world. I don't understand an airplane. I just get in it and ride. I don't understand a car, but I'm going to drive it home today. You don't have to understand it to believe it. And if you in your heart, you believe in Jesus Christ and you want to invite him in today. Some of you invited him in and then you took off and separated yourself and now you need to ask him to come on back. He really didn't leave you, but you need to recommit. Just say this prayer with me. If you're listening online, say this prayer with me. Say,
Lord Jesus,
I believe in you. Come into my heart. Live in me. Forgive me for everything I've done wrong. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you said that for the first time today, raise your hand. Anybody said that prayer? Amen. Right here. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Heaven is rejoicing. Amen. They're going to come to you. He's smiling too. Yeah, that joy is coming. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. He's living in you right now. They're going to get some information. They're going to give you a book. And that book is going to help you to know what to do next. There's anybody that prayed that prayer today that it was you had prayed it before, but you recommitted. You recommitted to really letting Christ live in you. Anybody that recommitted their life, amen, right here. Amen. That book is going to help you out too. Amen. Amen. Anybody, I don't want to miss anybody that recommitted in that prayer today. Now, there's some of you, I want to come to the altar. I want to lay hands on you. And those are the ones who are saying, I want Jesus. I know that Jesus lives in me, but I need some more cleanup. I got him living in a place that is not comfortable for him to be in because I still got some stuff. Some of you got it in the basement. Can't nobody see it, but it's still in the basement. Some of you got it in the attic. In the basement, we put stuff we want to hide. In the attic, we put stuff we want to save. Some of y'all, he need to clean out the basement. Some of y'all, he need to clean out the attic. Some of you, it's your bedroom. Some of you, it's right in your living room. Some of you got some stuff in the kitchen you haven't washed out. Whatever it is, y'all get it. Y'all get what I'm saying. And say, God, I'm surrendering to the cleanup. Whatever it is. You can move it over. You can move it out. God, I need a cleanup. If that's you, we're going to pray for the process to begin and say, God, I just need, I need some more cleanup. And I'm, and the Lord has laid on me, I believe there's some needs in her life. Oh, y'all got a first. Oh, that's nice. Look at you. You're so cute. This young lady has worked hard for the house of Antioch. Before we combined the praise team, she'd come over here. She'd help us anytime she needed to. And they really need a paid position for the things that she's been doing and things that we need her to do. But we have to do something about getting more people that pay consistent tithing. We just can't afford it. But we can bless her today. And I know all of us are volunteers. I get paid a salary, but I give a whole lot of it back. I give back so much to the church that I can't even take it off my taxes anymore because it's too much of my income. And none of us are really getting paid what we're worth. When we get our things up, we can be able to bless people as they should. We thank God for all of our praise and worship team. Everybody, AV, greet. Everybody's volunteering. Most of us are volunteering. But I do want to bless her. It's been 14 years without a break. It's been both church, all three churches if they call her. It's a lot of extra work. And I just want to appreciate her today. Not for any particular reason except for it's her birthday and I feel like there's a need God wants to meet in her. So, her Cash App, I told her, you don't want no money. I want my money that's going to come to me. My Cash App is $ Naida Parson. But hers is Coffee in Chats. Coffee, the word coffee, then the capital N, and then C-H-A-T-S. Coffee in Chats. If you want, if she's ever blessed you, if she ever sung that song that just blessed your heart, and if she's ministered and said that thing to you and you've enjoyed her ministry, do that. I don't want y'all to give her God's money. we don't give her God's money. But if you want to, just if you want to, if you feel like blessing her for her service, she was faithful to this church. This is not her church. She belongs to another church, but she's been faithful to the house of Antioch for years. And so, if you guys don't mind doing that. Tonight is our ministers in training and the kickoff for our spring break for our middle and high schoolers. So the MITs and Sunrise is coming over. Their praise team is going to minister to us tonight. And the MITs are going to minister, and the young people are going to be here. Then they're having a party after church tonight. So come on back tonight. We will be here. We're going to start at 6:30 rather than 6 o'clock. And we're going to have service. They're going to be ministered to. I need you to bring your middle school and high school. You can bring everybody tonight, though. Bring everybody tonight. I want to pray for our children tonight. I want to pray for our young people. This is a kickoff of spring break camp, and then the middle school and high schoolers are going to be here all day Monday, and we're taking them on a field trip on Tuesday. And then the little people, the three-year-olds to fifth grade, are going to be here Thursday night. They're having their party here Thursday night, and then they'll be here all day Friday, and they're going on their field trip on Saturday. So don't let them sit at home. Let us have them. Most of the folk have already registered, so I just want to remind you, it kicks off tonight. So if you have some other young people, if they haven't registered, everybody can come tonight, and we're going to have a great time in God. We're going to pray for them, then they're going to have a party. So spring break is this week. Don't forget our Just One. We are going for 225 souls that say that prayer that we said today. And so we want you to have an appointment throughout the week. Lord, let me run into somebody and have them accept Christ. I want y'all to know my grandson, Aiden, 16 months old, got his first Just One yesterday. I was walking, we were doing our train pray go, and I'm walking down there. You know, he likes to drag you around to walk. And he caught this lady's attention, and he began to, with his cute, adorable self, and he caught her attention, and she stopped to say something to him. And she walked a little further and then ran into Pastor Erica. Pastor Erica talked to her. I came back with him a few minutes later, and I was able to talk to her. Then the group that was there for the train pray go came out, and we prayed for her and brought her to Christ yesterday. I said, go on, Aiden. 16 months old, got your first Just One. I want you to have, how many have gotten their Just One so far this year? Have you gotten one? Amen, amen. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, good, 7, 8, all right. We are on the way. So in our closing prayer, we pray for those divine appointments. And then just make sure you go to our webpage and go to the Just One and put it there. On fourth Sunday, the Fellowship of Independent Churches and Ministries are going to do the 7 I Am's of Christ. That's fourth Sunday night. But we're going to go back. I'm going to give this church a break from being the main church. We're going to go to Central Campus with Phi Camp. And then we have a great Easter week for you, the week before Easter and the Easter celebration. So that's what we'll be doing this month. You'll hear more about all of that. But it's time to go home. Let's say amen for our co-pastor, Pastor Foster.
You all pay attention to the screens because most of the announcements are running on the screen. I just got one little thing that Pastor said that, but Tasha is a member of the Aliante campus. Aliante, y'all with me on that? Yes, 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 yes. She belongs to the house of Antioch, the house of Antioch. But thank you all. Let's bless our pastor on this afternoon. What an amazing, amazing word, amazing word. Oh God, Jesus just met us here on today. I just want to say something really quick. If you've joined the church last year, December up to now, will you raise your hand? I just joined from December. I see you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I see you all. And I want to talk to those who came on that were new to Christ. Like I'm new. Like I don't know this like y'all know it. I'm brand new here. I want you to hold on. Armando, hold on. Patrice, hold on. I'm going to have something to give y'all in a couple of weeks. But I want you to hold on. I need you to hold on, Rosemary. Hold on, Oscar. Hold on, y'all. These people are new. And if I'm missing you, just let me know. Pastor Rhonda, I'm new too. I'm new to accepting Christ into my life. I'm new to learning who he is. This young man that's sitting with Marias in the back, hold on. It's easy to fall back. It's easy to give up. It's easy to say, I can't do this like them. Y'all, we're only standing because of Jesus. And if you ever find yourself in a way like, I can't do this, please talk to one of us because we have been exactly where you are. We have been in the exact fight. Somebody, I can pull somebody right now and say they was in your fight. And so hold on to him. I promise you it gets better. I promise you it gets easier. I promise you the road don't stay rough. We still have a fight to break out in a minute. Because like Pastor said, the enemy will try to come after you. But you start to build up. You build up a little strength. You build up a little know-how. You build up a little skill. My husband said the other morning, he said, the enemy tried to get me as soon as I woke up. I don't know if y'all ever been in a place, as soon as you open your eyes, bam! He talking trash. You ain't nothing. You ain't going to be nothing as soon as you wake up. And so then you got to be ready. I'm waking up before you get up. I wake up ready. I wake up ready to throw something at him. And so I just wanted to encourage all of you, hold on. Hold on. And grab an anchor here. Grab a hold to somebody and feel like I feel like I'm slipping. Grab a hold to one of the people in here and we'll hold you up. Amen. 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 You all make sure that you keep up with the announcements on the screen. For those of you who have registered for spring break and registered for youth and children, we have registration, but we need you to go ahead and make your payments. If you have not talked to the staff, I know that Pastor Parson mentioned that there were some scholarships, but the team, you know, they're asking the finance team about registration, and we got a number, but the payments show a different number. You all, they need to prepare. It's starting like tomorrow, and so we need you to be in with them. Amen? Amen. Amen. So go ahead on the Cash App, and go ahead. You can pay through Cash App, New A Aliante, and go ahead and put that in the comments, Spring Break for Children or you. You can do it online, however you need to do it. Make sure you're keeping your eyes open. March is full of church-wide activities. And it's activities for the whole church, not just for a select few. And so make sure that you are involved with us. Y'all stand all over the place. Tasha, don't tell Central that we claimed you. Don't tell them. Don't tell them. But we thank you, Tasha. We thank you. I thank you personally, my friend. Thank you. And so you all let us pray. Father God, we just say thank you for today. Thank you for the reminder that Jesus lives in us. Oh, God, we just say thank you. Thank you that we, oh, God, declare on today that we are making room for you. And so we just bless your name, oh, God, on today. Oh, God, would you take us out into this week and keep us mindful, oh, God, of who you are? Would you bless our youth and our children's staff? Oh, God, prepare them for the poor. Oh, God, prepare them, oh, God, to build up our youth and our children over this next week. Oh, God, would you give them provision and everything that they need? Things that haven't even came to mind yet, they'll come to mind, oh, God, on today and tomorrow morning. Oh, God, bless them with excellency, oh, God, as we handle, oh, God, our tomorrow and our today's leaders. And so we say thank you. Keep us in mind of our just one. Let us be cute like Aiden. Let us draw somebody's attention to us, God. Let us be the draw, oh God, as we keep you lifted. And so we just say thank you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and thank God. Y'all love on somebody. Everybody, freeze. Freeze. Freeze right there. Freeze. We have two birthdays today. Joan, that's up here in this pretty pink. She said, it's my birthday too, Pastor Sharonda. Happy birthday.